Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is Gospel lesson appointed for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. I read to you from Matthew chapter 16, verses 12 through 28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and I just pray that you use it to illumine our hearts. Fill our souls with gladness as we see our Savior and as we confess our sins. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, the comfortable truth of Christianity is not found in what we face for our beliefs, but in the one who died and rose for us. It's found in the cross and in the one who bore it for our sake. As such, it's found in each one of us too, for everyone who trusts in his promise becomes a partaker in God's comfortable truth by grace, and can say without reservation that they live in his peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And that's the truth of Christ. His cross is our comfort, even while the thought of it makes us uncomfortable. After all, we struggle with the truth of the cross. We're very much like Simon Peter in this. We don't want to see our Savior stretched out upon that cross, bearing its shame. This, after all, is not where the very Son of God belongs. He and his righteousness should be our leader. He should be the one who guides us in paths of righteousness and leads us to pastures by still waters, and not the one who is suffering and dying on that tree on our behalf. But how could we possibly ever follow him apart from the cross, we who are sinful from birth and continue on in our sinfulness, failing miserably at keeping God's holy Ten Commandments, even in our redemption? While we want, we're unable to carry any such cross. But that's not the cross that Jesus is asking us to bear. He's not asking us to bear the cross of the law. As a matter of fact, it's the very cross that Jesus is removing from our shoulders, this cross of the law. And Jesus knows that we're unable to save ourselves and considers any such attempt to spare him from his God-appointed task is the work of the devil. He tells us sharply, "Get behind me, Satan," not to put us down, but to tell us that any such thought of preventing his atonement would only lead to our eternal death and our eternal descent into hell. Our Savior's cross precludes any such notion. It's the very place where we and our Lord are glorified together. In the opening verse of Psalm 46, the psalmist writes, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble." We're blessed to carry the cross, as the writer of this psalm did. It's God's grace and God's sufficiency that spares us from his wrath. It's his Son that gladly fulfills the Father's will and bears the burden of our sin to its destruction. Those who deny this redemptive work by Christ, by rejecting him, and outright trying to add to his atoning sacrifice by their own acts of righteousness, overlook the victory our Savior won over sin and death and the devil. The former brings about his own death by the rejection of God's gift of faith, but so too does the latter, because he confuses the glory of the cross with the glory of man. We can only be saved by the grace of God. Our works never enter into the picture. Jesus, God's Christ, is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. This narrow gate is the only gate to heaven, and the blood theology of the gospel, it's the sacrifice which involves Christ's substitution. Redemption by the blood of God's Son and the cleansing of the soul can only be received by us from God's as a gift of faith, and it's the only thing that will ever save us. And that's why the psalmist goes on to tell us, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Cease striving. Know that I am God. Pick up the cross. There's no mystery in the fact that Jesus tells us to pick up this instrument of death and to follow him. Those who are baptized into Christ Jesus will realize it right away, because they're immediately received into Christ's death. In baptism, their old selves, that old Adam, which represents the complete body of sin, is brought to its demise. With that accomplished, the very same creature that has been brought to death arises to newness of life in him who saves. For the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Martin Luther put it this way. Baptism, he said, indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Remembering that daily contrition is the humbling of ourselves to follow God's word, and that repentance doesn't just turn from sin, but it turns to trust in Christ. We're all compelled all the more to cling to the cross that saves us, not just once, but time after time after time. While we were doing our vacation Bible school up north this past summer, this young girl brought me a coloring page that she defaced. She likely thought it fun to push my buttons and tried to shock me by drawing all sorts of horrible things on the page. And she even began explaining them to me with great joy and elation. I put my arm gently around her and, calling her by name, I said, "My dear sister in Christ, do you remember how Jesus chose you to be your friend, and how he died upon that cross to save you?" "Yes," she replied. "Is that how you really want to treat him after all that he's done for you?" She got really quiet, and he lowered her head down and said in a really soft voice, "Do you think I could get another coloring page?" I can't even begin to think of how many times I've had to ask my Lord for another coloring page in my Christian walk. The instances are too numerous to count and too sorrowful to recall. But I do know this. I know that he who saved me has kept his promise of redemption and has washed me repeatedly in his blood. And I know that he has washed you in his blood too. Therein lies the hope that we all have. Taking up the cross shields us from hopelessness. It protects our heart. And that's the real benefit to us, especially in this world so fraught with sin. Because that world will die away, but the cross is permanent. Everything else that we know in this world, everything else that people have put their hope in, will cease to exist. Their hope will end, but ours will not. Our sufficiency, our strength, and our hope will continually be upheld by the cross. It'll be upheld by God, who has given us his faith and his one and only Son. And his cross is real. Were it not, the world would not ignore it and would not mock it, and Satan of all of his forces wouldn't be working so hard to steal it away. Cling to the cross. And carry it with you every day of your life, or rather let that cross be your anchor, and know with all certainty that it can hold you to life eternal. By it, you have been given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By it, you have been given into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and into an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are being shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's being revealed in the last time. No, with all certainty, that you are not alone in your journey. Know that God has brought you here and that he has been at your side continually during your struggling, offering up the assurance of his presence, both spiritually and physically. Know that by the cross, Jesus has made you partakers of his holiness by the power of his word and by the gift of his altar. There, Jesus has freed you and laid himself upon your heart in that blessed sacrament of Holy Communion. And he will continue to assure you of his presence in the day that he calls, right to the day that he calls you into eternity. Know and trust all of these things, that they are yours by the cross, and that nothing else will ever be needed. That's the comfortable truth of God. Nothing else will be needed save the grace of God that was made manifest upon the cross of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Know it and continue on under that grace, continuing on in the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise your name. You have sent your Son to die on the cross, and for his sake, we have life. For his sake, we will continue on, strengthened in faith by the cross. And I just pray, Lord God, that you let that cross rest on our hearts, that we might know your presence now and to eternity, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. And amen.